On April 13th, at a Jewish community center in Overland Park, Kansas, a deranged white supremacist shot and killed 69-year-old retired physician William Lewis Corporan and his 14-year-old grandson, Reet Underwood. He also killed another woman, Terry Lamano, at a nearby Jewish assisted living center. For the media, it was an enticing tragedy to cover, a brutal hate crime in the heartland with sympathetic victims and a bigoted madman. The race was on to find out more about those victims, a process that in many cases puts extra strain on families already dealing with tragedy. But the Corporan family avoided the worst of the media onslaught by immediately providing detailed information about the victims, complete with backstories and photos. That information was furnished by the late Dr. Corporan's son, Will, a former TV journalist who acted quickly to make sure his family's story was told with accuracy and respect. Corporan was at home in northwest Arkansas, getting ready to drive to Kansas City when the media blitz began.
While we're packing, I turned on one of the cable news channels and saw a news conference that was being held by the Overland Park Police Department.
The initial call came into our dispatch center at 1:03 p.m.
Which is a very surreal experience when you know the unnamed victims are your father and nephew.
There was one immediate fatality at that location, and this is in the back of a Jewish community center. And then there was a second person in that same area, probably in the same car, who succumbed to his injuries at the hospital.
One of my family members told me that the hospital public relations person was putting together a news release. She is actually fielding all these inquiries from media organizations. And so I spoke with her by phone. She made a comment that perhaps we should just let the police release the names of my father and nephew sometime the next day or the following day, Monday or Tuesday. I immediately texted my brother and sister. A switch had just gone off in my head. I'd gone from being just sitting there in my own misery to all of a sudden now I have a job to do. And I told my sister and brother, we've got to get in front of this.
Because as someone who worked in the news business for years, you understood that while the hospital was trying to protect your privacy, by being so spare with details, it was actually endangering your privacy. How did you do that calculus? What did you know would happen next?
I knew that the media would find out the information they wanted to find out anyway. I did not want anybody showing up on my mom's door with a camera asking the, how do you feel? I did not want that happening to my sister. And I did not want the first picture of my dad to be released to the media as his driver's license photo. So, we needed to start telling the story.
So how did you proceed?
I started adding personal touches to the news release. And the hospital sent me all the email addresses from the media contacts, and I just did an email blast from the front seat of the Ford Expedition. My mother and brother and sister had sent me, I think, three or four pictures, cropped those pictures, and emailed them from the front seat of the car.
Among the things you were determined to do was not let the focus be on the shooter, but rather on your family. And I guess to succeed in that, the more information that you could provide, the better.
One of the things that happened was totally unexpected, and I think it really jerked the wheel of the coverage, okay? Sunday night, within hours of the death of my father and my nephew, my sister went to an impromptu vigil at a church.
My name is Mindy Corcoran. I'm the daughter of the gentleman who was killed, and I'm the mother of the son who was killed.
She stood up there and poured her heart out.
I want you to know that I came upon the scene very, very quickly. I was there before the police, and I was there before the ambulance. And I knew immediately that they were in heaven.
So I have no doubt that once people saw that in newsrooms around the country, like, wow, we want that. I mean, I really think that that steered coverage in our direction.
One aspect of this was your ability to be quite open about your family's faith and without being turned into some sort of caricature. First of all, did you fear that the press was going to be dismissive about that?
I have certainly seen people, when they are speaking in religious terms, be, at least in my view, mocked or, and it may be less overt than that, but just not taken as seriously. Maybe that's the best way to put it. We didn't shy away from saying anything. We were just honest.
Well, talking of faith, has your experience restored your faith in journalism?
I've never lost faith in journalism. What this experience has done for me, it has given me hope, at least, that people can be treated well. Victims in these kinds of things can be treated well. I've always known that. Actually, having experienced it from the other side, it was very nice to see.
Will, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Will Corporan, a former journalist, works in insurance and estate planning in Bella Vista, Arkansas.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.